something like that. But we certainly know that there are data shows that Hudson has an unusually high asthma rate.
Hello, this is Jonathan Paley of the Paley Brothers, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, ACRA.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXE sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support. Thank you.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Amanda Lees of Freehold, New York. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Moments before he's hit with a 40-foot wall of sulfuric acid that will horribly burn everything in its path. Now, that's real acid, so I want to see goggles, people.
My eyes, the goggles do nothing.
It's almost always safety first at the Thingularity Radio program, so don't let that happen to you. Have your questions answered by sending them to catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com and tune in every first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7.
You're not listening to this Thingularity Hour.
Oh,
We're on the Thingularity Hour program, and it's originating from my living room because at the Makerspace on West Bridge, I'm afraid the audio has not yet been connected. So there are about five of us gathered around the electronic campfire here. Joe is madly twiddling, trying to find the missing link. And Ben is giggling. Can we hear you, Ben?
I believe so. I would hope. Otherwise, we're just some bunch of dead air here. So, all great things. Some technical difficulties last minute. I think you guys were just being mean over in Catskill to Joe's laptop, and it's just like, no, I'm not going to do it.
Well,
you're just being so cruel to it. It's like, no, I'm done with you.
Well, down at the Makerspace, it's Jill and who else we got down there? We have some people who don't necessarily show up as visuals for me, but but I think if you could see the COVID spreading around the room, what's going on with you guys anyway? That you.
Can you guys hear me on the radio?
You wanted to be on the radio, so you don't have to.
No, on the radio. No, on the radio. No coming through. Okay.
The Star Trek background's coming through.
Well, that should have routed it.
I heard you.
You heard me?
Yes.
Okay, so it did work, and we have a horrible delay. So everybody can now be told that you are listening to the Thingularity Radio program, broadcasting live from, let's see, the two-story fountain in the vestibule of the Catskill Maker Syndicate, located at 65 West Bridge Street in the heart of Catskill. Speaking quickly to make up time, we are here to answer any science or technology-related questions you may have. Contact us at catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com. Or you can try your luck at giving us a call at 518-697-7400. That would be the studio number for WGXE. We have routed to one of our phones. As you can tell, we've been having some technical difficulties this evening, and we just might be able to route you in so that everybody can hear you if you give us a call. But thankfully, Tom and Ben are with us, and they were being piped in digitally, and they were able to get on air and at least let you guys know that we're here, getting things going, doing the ditty, pushing the buttons, making it all happen. Tom, how you doing?
I don't know how, but, you know, here I am.
All right. Ben, how are you, ma'am?
Doing well. Yourself?
Doing great over here, buddy. Over here, we have Trixie. How you doing?
Doing okay.
All right. Corey, our forgotten geek.
Doing okay.
Brian, how you doing, buddy?
I'm kind of bloated.
Bloated?
It has nothing to do with the 40 in his hands.
Nah, nothing at all. Hey, it's a party over here. Cody, how you doing over there, bud?
I'm doing.
All right.
Making it through.
Cool. Chris, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Not too bad. Now, everybody, if you can remember, those are the voices. Not like it really matters, though.
Does.
Nobody cares. This is WGXC. We could be just, you know, droning into a Pringles can for an hour.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Let me go get the Pringles can.
Wow. Remember, that if you put a microphone to the metal on the bottom of a Pringles can, you can make a robot noise.
Right.
We did that last time.
There's also more advanced ways to make a robot noise, like setting up integrated circuits and piezoelectric elements. Pick up your vocal fold vibrations.
Oh, you want to get all technical? I can beat you with that. That's when you just take a piece of wax paper and drape it over an old comb. It's the kazoo.
I got to be R2-D2 in a Christmas song called R2-D2, We Wish You a Merry Christmas, which was Bon Jovi's first recording.
I have that album.
It's amazing.
I actually have that CD.
Yeah, I get to be him.
Amazing.
It also has a great song called What Do You Get a Wookiee for Christmas When He Already Owns a Comb? And other Christmas classics.
You get him a brush and some hair clips.
No, you get him Love and Understanding. Haven't you heard the song?
Bootleg copy of the Star Wars Holiday Special.
They redid that in Lego, I think.
Well, not redid. It did like a new one.
I think it's a different one.
You can't remake that.
No. Yeah, just a new one with the sequel trilogy cast.
Listen. There's not enough. One day they're going to remake The Room. There's just not because they
processed coca
can.
In the world to remake either of those.
Oh, yeah.
There's enough here in Catskill.
What are you talking about? They already remade The Room. When they made the movie about making The Room.
The Disaster Artist.
Yeah.
Anybody got anything they've been working on or they want to talk about while they're here? Open venue, gentlemen.
Ooh, boy.
Well, I guess I can go first with a little news. I've been news from Forbes. What I call the Star Trek Did It effect. Mobile company Qualcomm is teaming with spectrometer maker Trinamix to put the latter's technology into smartphones, allowing one to scan an object to identify it down to the molecular level, like a tricorder. It'll be the first marketed for skincare, but they promise it'll eventually identify food and down to this caloric and nutrient values and its freshness. They can identify recyclables and potentially more.
The first thing I'm going to point it out is my dog's poop. What made it through him?
I want one of those because I have one already. I've had one for years. I had a cell phone. I put a diffraction grating on it.
I
wasn't using it to find whether or not I had freckles or skin eczema or anything like that. What I wanted to know was how far away I was. And that's the thing that I invented, was the cell phone that had a camera that was flat. And you could do it on a tablet or you could do it on a cell phone. So it's the same thing that I want one of these things that they're mass producing because I could turn it into a 3D camera.
Of course Tom wants to hack and modify it, make it into something
better. You might better get talking to Trinamics.
Well, it also has this medical thing. Originally, the idea was that you would stick it in somebody's mouth and you could get a 3D picture of their teeth. And at the same time, you could see if they had tooth decay, because the color of tooth decay in a spectrometer is at certain wavelengths is quite noticeable. You don't see it with your eye exactly, but there is a wavelength in which the dentine is beginning to die. Mm. And so, I'm not saying stick a cell phone in your mouth, but the
equivalent. Not yet, anyway. Maybe after they come out.
You'd get better mic performance, I imagine, but. You couldn't.
Hey, we're experimenting all the time here.
Welcome to the Bill of How May We Help You. Would you like fries with that?
Oh, my God.
You can't hear me through this Pringles can? Is that what you're saying?
No, we're just making fun of what it's going to be like when you put the microphone directly in your mouth.
Isn't it awful? The dentist starts telling you stuff and you can't answer back because he's got your mouth so open that you can't speak.
I just pretend I know sign language, and then they're all embarrassed when they don't.
Bring on the laughing gas, and I won't care, I guess.
Yeah, right? Crank it on up.
At any rate, that sounds like a really neat piece of news. Out in my space, I just learned today that the Earth is spinning more rapidly than it had been in the past.
We thought it was slowing down, but it's actually getting faster.
Well, yeah. Now, in the past, they've said it was slowing down. And on that basis, an astronomy professor I've worked with explained that it's the moon that's slowing the Earth down, and that explains why the moon is getting further away.
Yep.
And I was having this argument with her about it because I attribute the distancing of the moon over periods of time to the collapse or decay of dark matter. And she just wasn't hearing of it. She said, no, the moon's getting further away because the Earth is slowing down and the sloshing of the ocean is causing a slingshot effect that's sending the moon further out.
Okay.
So
what?
No. Mass.
Yes, that's the commonly accepted idea, except we're spinning faster.
Now they found it. Yeah, we're spinning faster. So this whole theory, and it is a theory. I mean, you know, you can test it. But my theory is based on a notion that dark matter is decaying. So 85% of the mass in the universe is this invisible matter stuff. And if it has a half-life, then over time it decreases, and that causes things like the stars to start to fly away from the galaxy, and the galaxies to start flying away from each other, which is something we've observed, and it's a big problem in astronomy now. Or what is this, anti-energy or something?
That's not a bad line of thinking.
I know.
I was ready to jump on it, but no, that sounds good to me.
So I brought this up, this is at RPI, and I was kind of pushed out of the room because I was told I didn't belong in their wheelhouse. So
You're not in the club, sir. Where are your credentials?
Have you paid your entrance fee to be in this room with us,
sir? Your decoder ring?
I don't know.
Okay, good. That's your theory, but is there any other theories as to why the Earth may be spinning up? I mean, slowing down makes sense because of friction and gravity, but where's the energy coming from? We're not shrinking.
I have no idea. All I have is an explanation of why the moon is getting further away. That's it. I'm focused on that because there's a correlation between that and the, if you will pardon me, singularity that caused the Big Bang.
Oh, God.
What happens? What if, like, the equatorial regions are expanding because of the rotation, and that rotation increases the amount of mass away from our center, which would increase? No, that would decrease. That would slow it down too. It would have to get smaller, like a figure skater curling up.
So the expanding Earth, people would kind of be right.
Maybe it's expanding and contracting Earth.
Mm-hmm. So are there like little gremlins pushing us? What?
Yeah, maybe we become slightly less oblong of a.
Somebody call up Neil Adams. Yeah,
still, even if dark matter is decaying, you can't account for the increased velocity. You need to add energy into the system.
Well, it's not clear whether the dark matter is inside the Earth. It's quite unlikely that we're just flying through it and don't know it. And there's a question as to whether you can perceive the dark matter. That's the moon indicates that there may be dark matter that's decaying. It's just an effect of it. But seeing it, or using see as a verb isn't the right one, but detecting it is a problem because it's a single dimensional substance, a scalar substance. So having a way of detecting it is, no one's got a way to detect it. We just know it's there from the effect it has on the galaxy. So this has really been a big preoccupation for me. I've been writing up a proposal to find it.
Awesome.
I have a theory about finding it. It has to do with the fact that it's decaying at the Planck length, and that means that you can't see the wavelength because it's such a small dimension. But there is a way
really high frequency if the wavelength is that small.
But is there
that's
a way to
cause
observe
cancer
it even,
in like a second?
Even secondhand, or any way to infer that from other data?
Yeah, I think so. Because as we move through it, it will vibrate at an enormous amount of energy. Every time it decays, it gives out the equivalent of an arterial shell going off in its own dimension, which is a gravity wave. So we have a gravity wave that is at the Planck length and Planck frequency, but it's the Planck mass, which is 20 micrograms. So when 20 micrograms is converted at E equals mc squared to energy, it releases so much energy.
20
that
micrograms is a lot on a small scale.
It's enormous. It's enormous. There's no larger particle by any.
Okay.
These are all estimates
sure
made.
Correct. All right.
These are all estimates that were made by this year's Nobel Prize winner in physics, Roger Penrose, who's got an absolutely fascinating approach to the problem of finding dark matter and explaining the singularity.
Okay. I see what you did there, sir.
Yeah. He brought it full circle back to a cyclical.
Anybody else have any in-depth thoughts on dark matter?
Mm-mm. Unfortunately.
The moon, the rotation of the
really
Earth.
I'm thinking at that high level. At that high of a level.
That's way
at
out.
At the moment. Not for me. That's way out there.
I think dark matter is a bunch of poppycock and somebody fudged some numbers.
We got to fudge some numbers to make everything equalized now, so they got to find.
Well, that's string theory. Just make it work.
Theory of everything, yeah.
Ben, I think you had something you wanted to bring up.
The thing that I sort of caught my attention was Ticketmaster got caught.
Pearl Jam and Queens of Fire.
So basically,
please continue.
Ticketmaster hired a former employee, I think it was Songbird or something like that, and the guy basically walked out the door and, you know, created himself some users, and what that allowed him to do was to basically log in, find artists that Songbird was able to sign, and then Ticketmaster would come in and sort of, you know, goon them into using their service or undercut them. So, you know, what was sort of striking to me about the whole thing is that the only criminal penalty that Ticketmaster had to pay was a $10 million fine.
For
hacking.
Hacking.
Now, yeah.
Unauthorized access of computer systems.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's just the unauthorized access to a computer system, which... Yeah. Wait,
it's not they had espionage.
I'm sorry, they had login credentials?
Yeah. Yeah.
They had authorized access. That lawsuit doesn't count.
It wasn't theirs.
Well, once you're terminated, you know, you're really not supposed to enter somebody else's computer.
Yeah, that's against
it. It's generally accepted that you're not supposed to.
But a police officer was just like let loose from that
accepted.
Just because he was because he
accepted.
Accessed like a computer system he shouldn't have, but the law came down to if you have the ability to log in, you have authorization.
So the judge landed it as...
Oh, that hasn't?
I don't think so.
Did the sysadmin... It was the system's responsibility to lock him out and to revoke credentials?
In that case...
They,
oh, okay. I'm sorry. I must have misread it. If Cody's right, then that isn't decided. And everything I just said is nonsense. Okay. Please disregard.
The particular one about the police officer hasn't been decided yet.
Yeah, they're waiting for that. They're waiting to find out.
It will be a landmark.
It'll be a what?
A landmark decision.
What they say.
Yeah, it's going to be big. It's going
constitutes unauthorized access.
Yeah.
That will definitely be a landmark.
Okay, jumped on that one. So, Ticketmaster is basically a $10 million fine. I mean, for anybody else, that's a big thing. For Ticketmaster, that's pocket change. That's not even pocket
change.
Didn't they dissolve?
Yeah, they dissolved.
That's after they dissolved, though. Like, they don't exist anymore?
Ticketmaster dissolved?
Yeah, well... what is it called? Live Nation now? Whatever they want to call it.
Oh, okay.
Did they just rebrand or something?
I would assume so, yeah.
Merged, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Halliburton did the same thing. It was Blackwater. Now it's Halliburton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
And they all kill people. Especially Ticketmaster.
You know, I hear they scalp people. Like,
Oh, no, of course not. Oh, speaking of recent slaps on the wrist.
Slap on the wrist?
Yeah, you know, slaps on the wrist. Google was fined 91 million British pounds sterling over ad tracking cookies. Amazing, right?
So that's like what, $95 million?
That's pocket change.
I don't know about 95 million. I think it's more. Because it's like they were fined in France 100 million euros. I'm reading this off the BBC News.
For tracking cookies.
Yep. For their tracking cookies.
That's because Europe has, like, you know, intelligent laws when it comes to the internet.
Yeah, GDPR.
People might not know this, but there's a thing called right to be forgotten.
You know how websites now ask you whether or not you accept their cookies?
Yeah.
That's the EU law. Put that in.
If you read into if you read into the fine print, it's due to compliance with the European Union's GDPR.
It's not
general data privacy.
I thought that was there was a U.S. law in place for that.
No.
It's
you
European
make money,
Union.
You steal it from them. That's the U.S. way. The UK.
Really?
Yeah. Euro. The EU.
That's only for compliance with EU stuff.
That's EU standards. That's why that.
I'm going to have to look into this. I could have sworn there was something U.S. side that had that affected
care.
That.
No, they're
yes, they do, but
how
they should
money?
Care.
Okay, vote for
that's
me.
The point.
Here's the only thing they're supposed to do is they're supposed to respect do not track requests.
That's why I listen to the radios, because there are no cookies. You can just...
Right? We are not tracking you. We're just giving you the data, and it's serving up free.
Now, wait
but if you're in England, you have to pay a tax on your television to keep the BBC lit.
The yep.
Now yeah, they do like find out if you're wall. If you're watching TV, or they used to. They can't do it anymore, but they used to send a van around that listened to the 19 kilohertz yes. flyback transformer
yes.
and yeah, an old cathode ray tube. So the people were putting their television sets inside their. Closets or yeah, I mean, it was popular to put
well,
it in a fireplace.
It,
put it in a fireplace.
Yeah, yeah, you didn't pay your TV tax. About that.
So wait, some people had to pay a TV tax,
all of
and some didn't.
Has to.
No, well, everyone had to pay. If you had a TV listening or watching the BBC, you had to pay them. But you know, how
but
do, can
you But if
you
did
tell?
Not have a television, no, cook, you didn't have to pay the tax. Was,
no, if you don't have
right.
a TV.
Yeah, but
right.
it was one of those things that helped, sort of like, you know. Fund BBC and kept it.
Oh yeah, it's no, so, worth it, worth it.
So they
BBC awesome.
It with a spy van and an antenna.
The BBC was the first broadcast of television in the world
Ooh.
In the 1920s.
Okay, no,
I mean, General Electric did it in Schenectady as an experiment,
yeah,
but the BBC did it on. as a national enterprise.
They,
and they've been broadcasting television since the 1920s. So they worked out this scheme where the tax on your TV paid for the BBC, which was a lot of money. I mean, the BBC had more money than
oh,
the
yeah.
commercial stations.
And they spent it well. And this actually segues kind of into another thing one of us wanted to talk about concerning Nintendo. Trixie?
Yeah, Nintendo ninjas.
What's going on with that?
Let's see. They are people who drove around suburban areas looking for people using illegal ROMs of their games or advertising that they alter a video game or anything like that. So they gather all this creepy information on you and know everything you did.
While you're online? Like
not just while you're online. He went to the grocery store. He went out to eat alone.
And that has to do with
really, really.
So they're so they're following people like private detectives, trying to find out, but they're still trying to figure out who specifically this person is. They just have data on them.
They would offer them fake job offers to get closer to them. yeah, and then you know, just like teenagers, or just
so
like they got like SWAT teams.
Agents from Nintendo
agents.
Are driving around people's neighborhoods looking for hackers. Like ROM porting their games.
I don't know about that. Is this just
no? That's the story.
Wait, I heard the other part of the story different. Was like certain people were being harassed, systematically harassed by some kind of Nintendo Pinkertons who were just messing with them.
Yeah,
like literally
YouTubers
taking them down and threatening them.
Whom, like YouTubers who mod games and then they play their modded game or something, or maybe they distribute it in some way and they're saying no, you can't do this.
Yeah. It's the game police. The game
yeah,
police
right.
are watching you. The game police.
It also comes from an industry that's had, you know, been that's had Yakuza ties. You know.
Oh,
yeah,
go.
I mean, they go way back.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, that's along the same tone as what Thomas Edison did back in the day with pirating his various technology. He would go and send his agents out to break the technology and to break knees.
Mm-hmm.
But... good to see that
yeah.
old-time tradition
yeah,
is popular today with Nintendo. Good old knee-breaking
you don't
thugs.
Anyone taking your proprietary information and doing anything
Jesus
with it?
Christ.
No. That's ours. That's ours. Nobody can have it forever. And we're going to come by in Nintendo style and, I don't know, set you on fire,
I would
drown
say,
you, play
do they, like,
game
dress
here.
Like Mario and Luigi with, like,
Sledgehammer. Two Italian thugs get sent to every neighborhood dressed
like
Mario and Luigi.
Mario Luigi, but then they have like a skull on their shirt.
So we even downloaded video games, huh? How you doing? You got a real nice place here. It'd be a shame if somebody wrecked it.
I see you got a modded Switch there. I see some wires hanging out. Well, you think you're a smart guy. What are we going to do for things, Luigi? I don't know, Mario. He's making me crazy. Give me my hammer! Nintendo, thank you. Thank
wow.
you.
Thank you, Brian. That was a very vivid illustration.
Okay, you folks are listening to a bunch of idiots and WGXE 90.7 FM. Acra, Hudson, Catskill, radio for open ears. And that takes care of station ID. And now I think...
We have an appropriate song?
I think we have an appropriate song.
We have an appointment with nature, don't we?
You know, Ben, I can hear your mic.
Oh, you can?
And you can probably hear mine, but they're gone.
Yeah, I know. They, like, disappeared. They went, like, completely dark there.
Jackson went quiet there. Doing all in quiet. Maybe they cut us. I don't know.
I think he plays a cut.
And we are back here at WGXE 90.7 FM on the Thingularity radio program. If anybody happens to want to give us a call and rack our brains, it is 518-697-7400, the studio line that will get you directly to us. And Cody. All
right, Ben, I got a question for you.
Ben?
Ben?
Yep, muted. I'm sorry, I muted myself.
Good man, good man.
Awesome. So, your business model is being threatened as of this year, isn't it?
Which one? Which business model?
The part where you charge customers for their routers.
Oh. No, actually, we don't do that.
Of course
not. I said, good man.
We actually don't. So, there's a couple different ones. There's the Frontier guys that would charge you, I think it was $11 a month, whether you used their router or not.
Oh, yeah.
So, basically, in the state of New York, like, if you, you know, in any way, shape, or form, if you request a router without wireless capabilities, the ISP actually has to give it to you.
Makes sense, because they'll charge you for basically turning on the wireless, right?
Yep, I do that. But, I mean, our fee's rather nominal. I think it's like $3.99.
Do you allow people to do it themselves if they're smart enough?
Yeah.
Of course you do.
I turned it off.
He turned off all that stuff for me.
By the way, anybody listening that has an account with Mid-Hudson, you could do the same thing. If you want to use your own router, say, for port forwarding or other things that may be necessary on client side, you can call Mid-Hudson and have one of their technicians log into your modem and disable its router functions. Use those words, your router will be turned off, so will the Wi-Fi, and then you'll be operating strictly on your hardware. Be aware, though, you may have to spoof your MAC address. I had to do this to pull it off because Mid-Hudson's system would not detect my third-party router. I had to literally just tell it to pretend to be the MAC address of a popular router or one of theirs.
What?
It doesn't look
I know what they're doing.
I had to change the first four characters.
What are they doing, Ben?
So what they're doing is they're filtering the they're limiting. So yeah, they had you change the OUI on a Mac. So basically, they're filtering devices that they'll allow on their network.
I had to figure this out on my own. They didn't tell me nothing.
They didn't tell you this?
No.
So basically, you're probably a popular one is Motorola or Aeris now. And that's basically what the OUI you probably had to use is one of those. So they're actually filtering devices that way. It seems really weird why
my device pretends to be a Linksys device, actually.
Wouldn't let the TP-Link through, but when I pretended to be Motorola, they're like, sure, come on in.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're filtering you on the layer 2 side. That's really weird.
Well, now if anybody out there is so inclined, you got the information you need to do it.
Yeah, and you can look up the consequences of the Television Viewer Protection Act in New York, as was approved by Congress and signed by the President. And it also affects TV transparency about your bills. So.
Okay. All right. If everybody is done, do we have any last minute things we would like to contribute? We're going to move on to our newest segment, the Maker's Quiz Show.
Yay.
And guaranteed to be something. It is definitely going to be something.
Is there a time limit?
No time limit. Okay. I'm just going to ask you guys questions. You guys are going to answer, and the people at home are going to play along. And the prize will be my respect. Like I said, totally
very
worth
rewarding.
It.
Priceless.
Priceless. All right, I'm just going to go round robin from my left. Chris, in October, a NASA spacecraft, OSIRIS-REx, did what? Landed on Jupiter, got a sample from an asteroid, or detonated a Plumbus?
Got a sample from an asteroid?
That's correct. Right, that is a point for Chris.
He had to really think about the Plumbus part.
The Plumbus threw me off.
Hey, there's going to be some curveballs, okay? All right, now, Cody, your question next. This asteroid was named what? Ra, Bennu, or Charlie?
Bennu.
That is correct. The asteroid's name is Bennu.
I would think it's Charlie. It sounds more...
Nope. Osiris Rex was sent to Bennu. Okay. What is the age of Bennu, Brian? It is either 20.7 billion years, 4.5 billion years, or 10.6 billion years. A, B, or C?
B?
You are correct.
That was just a guess out of the blue.
You guessed right. You got the point.
4.6 billion years.
4.5 billion years is
the age of the solar system.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's why they went there, because it's an early rock, and they were trying to figure out what was going on early in our solar system. Mm.
Has any results from that yet?
Nope. It's still being sent back.
Okay.
Yeah, it takes a while to get back from the asteroid belt.
Yeah, that took a while.
It was just out there.
Okay. And here's why. Corey, how far away is it? 200 million miles, 100 million miles, or 25 miles?
A, 200 million?
200 million miles away, and that is why the return trip's going to be quite some time.
How many astronomical units is that? I gotcha. I don't even know.
I think that's less than 1 AU.
Is it less? It's like 1.8 or something.
An AU is the distance from Earth to the sun.
It's about 93 million miles.
Really? Right? So this is like...
Twice?
2.5 AUs? 2.3?
Something like that, I think.
Sure.
Pretty close. The reason they... Help us.
Now, Trixie. Same topic. Bennu the asteroid. What's its diameter? 10 meters? 250 meters? Or 500 meters?
250.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is incorrect. No. The correct answer is 500 meters, roughly. Oh,
that's a big one.
And the important is that is kilometer. Anything less than 200 meters wide would be spinning so fast it's just ejecting regolith. It wouldn't even work.
Oh. Big.
Wow.
All right, Tom. Guess what? You don't get a space question because you're you. You get an entomology question.
What's that, Elizabethan poetry?
We're moving on to 2020's other fun topic, murder hornets.
Oh.
All right, Tom. Where did the murder hornets first appear? Washington, Texas, or Saturday Night Live?
Well, I know it was Washington, but I'm not saying whether it was the District of Columbia or not.
The state of Washington, you are correct. Nice. Okay, and Ben, pay attention, bud. How long is the stinger on the murder hornet? Is it 2 millimeters, 6 millimeters, or the full 12 inches?
We'll go with the full 12.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ben. It's actually 6 millimeters long.
FYI, for us Imperials who are complete barbarians, that is about 1/4 inch.
Yeah.
That's still kind of long for a bee. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, hornet.
A wasp, yes.
A wasp, that's
very long.
Yeah, that's
intimidatingly
painful.
So.
All right, now, Chris, back to you. The murder hornet has an alternate defense mechanism besides stabbing its victim. It also does what? Bites its victim? Sprays venom in its victim's eyes? Or digs a hole in its victim's skin in which to lay eggs?
Oh, this ain't no botfly larva.
First one? Don't they decapitate bees?
Talking about a human. Anything, but...
Bite.
Is bite your answer? Yeah. That is incorrect. The correct answer is it sprays venom into its victim's eyes.
Whoa.
It aims and fires. It knows where it's going.
I know. That's just insanely bad.
Welcome to 2020. Or I'm sorry. Goodbye, 2020.
That is horror movie bad.
All right. We are moving on to the potpourri section, and we're just going to run out the questions.
Potpourri?
Potpourri is going to be whatever I found, okay?
Okay.
Cody. Cool. Dog noses can detect what besides odors? Is it sound, heat, or minerals?
I'll say heat.
What?
That is correct. Okay. The noses of dogs have been found to, in and of themselves, detect heat signatures of small animals. And this can allow puppies that have deteriorated senses like no hearing, no sight, no smell, to still find prey.
Wow.
Whoa, okay.
All right. Didn't know that.
All right, Brian. Dietary supplement alpha ketoglutarate does what of these things? Extends the life of mice, causes men's feet to shrink, or makes a great mixer.
Alpha-ketoglutarate. I don't know what.
It extends the life of mice. Studies have shown.
How does it do that?
We don't know. We just know that it does.
Now,
further study, we'll figure it out. These are brand new science stories. That's why you guys don't know the answers. It wasn't easy, trust me.
Are these lab mice?
Oh, okay, now. All right, I am going to.
Have you run out of potpourri?
No, but I'm going to switch the last two, and I'm going to give Trixie the dinosaur question.
Okay.
Okay, there is an ancient creature called the Boreal Pelta, which is a cousin to the better-known ankylosaur, missing the barbed tail, of course. This creature was actually found fully intact with its last meal in its stomach. And this last meal contained which of the following? Dandelions, stones, a 2-million-year-old Slim Jim. Incorrect. It actually contained stones.
Stones?
Yeah, huh. Just like birds. They ate stones to grind up their food.
Like birds.
Right? Pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vegetarians.
Right? And yeah, there was a bunch of other vegetable matter found in there too. So they just ground up all the vegetable matter.
Like a
and
gizzard.
Pretty much. Wow. The Boreal Pelta was a nodosaur, a type of armored dinosaur that lacked the tail club of its better-known cousin, the ankylosaurus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lived about 110 million years ago in what is now northwestern North America.
Yeah.
Corey, last question of the night. All right, we're going Korean. The tokamak-style reactor K-Star in South Korea recently maintained fusion plasma at 180 million degrees Fahrenheit for how long? Is it 20 seconds, 20 minutes, or 20 days?
I'm going to say 20 seconds.
That is correct.
Wow, that's actually pretty
impressive.
The previous record was 10 seconds.
Yeah,
I was. Wow, 20 seconds they got to.
And this concludes the first annual Makers Quiz Game.
Annual? Annual. Well, I won't do this ever again until next year.
I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, man, that took a lot of research. You think this stuff happens every day? Okay, I tell you what. If any of the listeners out there enjoyed our quiz program, please drop us a line at catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com. We'll be sure to include it in the next show.
Yeah.
All right. And that leads us to anything else. Trixie, we got some articles to talk about. What you got?
Albany Business Review reports Capital Region distilleries made sanitizer during the pandemic. Now the FDA is charging them $14,000
$60,000. They were going to do that, but that was actually backtracked.
They got smacked in the nose within 24 hours.
Yeah, because people started complaining big time. Because all the distilleries, and this wasn't just New York, this was across the country.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about the FDA. The FDA is like, oh, you guys need special hazmat like licenses or something. Yeah, to produce that. And then every single one of them went, huh? We helped you. And then, yeah.
Yeah. The smallest distillery is like 14 grand. That's going to bankrupt us.
Yeah, that would have destroyed people that are already hurting, and that's absolutely ridiculous.
No good deed goes unpunished.
This is
that's good.
A republic of hard-nosed bureaucrats enforcing arbitrary rules.
Well, you know, they're going to have to pay an alcohol tax on that ethyl alcohol.
They already pay tax on the drinking stuff. They do.
Oh, we've got that whole, like, detaining people. How does that work? Or do you have details on that? Like,
what?
But they're trying to pass this bill to detain people.
They're not trying to.
It's what?
They're trying to sit on it?
It's been sat on for the last 5 years. It was first...
Whoa, what bill are you talking about?
House Bill A416 has been in the House, not gone to committee since 2015, 2016.
What bill are we talking about? The one that does what?
Medical detention?
It adds provisions into the public health law for detaining
people for medical reasons.
Oh, okay. So basically enhancing the Typhoid Mary scenario. Like codifying it and making sure that we can throw you away if we think you have a disease. Right?
No, that would be the idea behind it.
How long has it been in the committee?
It's not been. It's never gone
to
committee.
Oh.
So it can't be voted out of committee.
So it's just going to sit there forever.
Right.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Basically
you
unsponsored.
Committee, so that way you can all pretend you tried and don't want to do it.
And how long has it been there?
Since about 2016 in various forms and numbers.
So before the pandemic, this was already in the books. And if the pandemic hit and we've had to deal with it and they haven't voted to enact that in any way or even move it to committee, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, there won't be any internment camps in the foreseeable future because you have a disease.
Not from this particular state.
No. So, you know, nothing to worry about, but keep an eye on it. Bill A-416.
If it starts
moving. If it goes into committee, call whoever is...
There's already legal precedent to imprison you for being sick and being, well, basically a jerk about it, so... I'm not exactly sure why it's needed, but we will put you in prison for the rest of your life for that sort of thing.
So that can happen en masse.
Why not? Do you remember? Do you remember what George Bush Sr. said about the drug war? You think there ain't enough prisons? We'll build them.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Wow.
Thus inspiring the great System of a Down song, prison song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're trying to build a prison for you and me to live in.
Great. Now it's in my head, and I don't have it available to play
You're welcome.
Put it in everybody else's head.
You're welcome.
I'll be bringing it around for the next show, I tell you what.
Do we want to go back to dinosaurs?
Dinosaurs.
Sure. What you got?
Well,
dinosaurs are fun.
They recently found a... What was it? Cretaceous feather?
Yeah, they found a feather that...
Encapsulated in amber.
Wasn't it like a tail with feathers coming out of it? Like
I think it was just like part of a feather. But
it was a very well structured and, you know,
yeah, it was
preserved.
It was detailed. Like hit, like this is Jurassic Park level crap. You pull out of the amber and you can make a new dinosaur.
Tens of millions of years old, and it actually survived in amber, right? Is that the case?
Yeah, it survived. But I tell you what, though, its DNA didn't.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, DNA
so
doesn't have.
So we can't grow another dinosaur. That's
No, I think it takes like 10,000
no dino
years
DNA.
Or for
and
DNA.
But do you remember what they did in Jurassic Park? The parts that were missing, they filled in with frog DNA that they had a spontaneous asexual reproduction.
You know how close you sounded to Alex Jones right there?
Frog DNA!
You take the frog DNA! And you put
that... faster DNA!
No, they're putting the frog DNA in all the publicized meat, and if you keep selling that meat, then you need to buy my supplement to protect you from that damage. Now, it's available for $9.95 to anybody that's listening.
And I could make you into a prince or a frog.
And now we got, is that Rumpelstiltskin? Nice.
Oh, you guys are killing me.
Hey, it's the point. I'll go full Alex Jones. I'll make some money for us.
Yeah, but you didn't have the veins popping out in your forehead.
Give them time.
I have to consume one more energy drink for that one.
I remember what I wanted to mention.
Okay.
Because there was some local news that Trixie brought up. So... We're going to have a battery recycling plant up in Rochester.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does that do?
Lithium?
Lithium ion battery recycling comes to Rochester, New York. Or I think it's Rochester.
So I stop burning them in my burn barrel?
If you were doing that, well,
No.
Your health is in danger.
If you stop allegedly burning them.
It's closer to my neighbor's house than mine. I'm not worried about it. They're downwind of me.
Wow.
Don't try to grow anything. No, that's kind of cool, I thought, because...
I'm only getting a couple weird growths.
They'll be able to take almost any kind of battery, actually. Not just lithium ion.
Like nickel cadmium, alkali, and all that.
They said it doesn't matter.
What will they do with them?
They're planning on at least partially taking ones that are usable, like packs out of electric vehicles that are usable, and just repacking them.
Well,
and reconditioning them.
the poisonous piece that come out? Are they just going
to
extract?
We sell it to India.
Extract elements?
I imagine they'll do what current recycling places do, which is like discharge and
sell
reprocess
the minerals. Countries. They do that.
Burn it at 5,000 degree Fahrenheit would be another way to do it.
I don't know.
My burn barrel doesn't get that hot.
So they'll take vaporize lithium ion, into lithium atoms. Polymer, like different chemistries.
I know used batteries always have like a capacity left, and I've seen large scale experiments with car batteries where people have taken like tons of dead car batteries and just wired them up to make a halfway decent solar battery.
Oh, just to use the just that's a good idea
because it's there, it's storage.
How dead it is. If it's so discharged that it can't be recharged, or that it's dangerous to recharge, because at some point they do get dangerous to recharge.
When the dielectric
what's the danger?
Dielectric breakdown and then you cross over.
What's the danger?
Yeah, what's the danger of recharge?
What he said. When
a short?
Yes.
A thermite-like fire with lithium. And
yeah, you get a runaway battery. It's bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
I almost had one on Christmas Eve. I was using my little Speed Hex from 2014 and I was holding down the trigger and it was just petered out. And I was like, uh-oh, that's not good. And then all of a sudden smoke started streaming out of the handle. I was like, okay, better go take that outside.
Yeah.
Was it a horror fraught device?
It was not a hazard fraught device. It was Lowe's.
Well,
it was a Lowe's product.
Okay.
I'm sure it came from the same factories. But
yeah, same factory in Shenzhen.
But that battery was red hot in there. I could see it through the plastic.
I bought stuff from Walmart that did that. I had battery backup for a cell phone.
Right.
And I still have them. Those are the ones that backfeed their power into whatever's trying to charge it if there's no longer a charge. So I could backfeed power into weird systems and do weird things. Downside of that is no short protection. I've watched it literally set cables on fire.
Cool thing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I melted one and then I'm like, brought it back to Walmart and I'm like, you may want to be very careful with storing this because I'm returning it, but I'm basically handing you a bomb. Please be careful.
Put it next to that pallet of cotton balls.
Yeah. Yeah, right there.
Yeah, right there. It's the isopropyl.
Those dirty rags. Those dirty rags and alcohol and paint, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay. First show of 2021. Winding out. Anybody got anything left?
Oh, what's going to be for this year? What are the plans? Anybody have plans for their 2021?
World domination?
Yeah.
Hoping to be able to travel again?
Yeah.
Vaccinations that return normalcy and don't make us grow third eyes?
Vaccinations that don't lead to flipper babies.
Wait, is the third eye functional?
You see, you need the Moderna one, not the Pfizer one. You see, the Moderna one costs three times as much.
Can I get through my hands like that thing from Pan's Labyrinth?
That would be four.
You can, but you have to get the special kit that comes with the X-Acto knife.
Okay.
Yes.
You have to install it yourself.
I know what I'm asking
for
next Christmas.
You also have to buy your own PCR machine. You have to manufacture your own vaccines.
Hopefully that happens soon.
All right, guys. You've been listening to the Thingularity Radio Program on 90.7 FM WGXC. We're wrapping up our first episode of 2021. Hope you guys have liked it. Once again, give us a shout out at CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. Next time, we're going to try to have the phone number up, and if anybody wants that for a reference, it will be 518-697-7400.
Which is WGXC's.
Yep, that's WGXC station line for all the other shows.